Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Cool Hip Parents podcast with your hosts. That's me, Amira. And what's your name?
I'm Brandon.
Your name's Hello. Brandon?
What?
Your name's Brandon?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome. So this week on, you know, the podcast, we are neither cool nor hip. We're going to talk about something that's neither cool nor hip because we do it.
What is this, episode 104?
This is episode, sure. Are we doing the 10 before it?
Well, you have to.
Oh.
Season 1.
Oh, season 1, episode 4. And the title of this one is Homeschoolers are Weird. Homeschoolers are Weird.
I wonder who's going to catch that.
Everybody. They're listening to this podcast.
They don't know.
Yes, they do. Homeschoolers are Weird. That's the name of this one.
Okay.
So, sir.
What?
This is going to be an interesting topic because we have a lot to discuss in terms of being homeschool parents.
Yeah.
And us not being homeschool parents in the beginning. And how...
I'm still not. I don't know how it works.
And how we've had to just change around our parenting style, really, with homeschooling. But it seems that this is still weird. Being a homeschooler is still a weird thing to people. And we get weird looks sometimes when we tell people that we homeschool. And
I don't. I usually get the, what?
That's a weird
look. How do you guys? That's awesome. No, it's not a weird look. It's a what? Like, I've never met a homeschooler, and you are a that. I want to do a that. How do that be done
How
with this?
How do that do that? How do we do that?
That.
But that wasn't always the case.
That was always the case for me.
Okay.
When did I get a weird?
Well, let's talk about your views on homeschooling when we first had conversations about homeschooling.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
What were your views?
I was like, what? What is that? It was basically, what? Who's going to do a thing? Like, I had no views on it because I had no knowledge of it. I was just like, what is this about? And then you gave me the information. I was like, all right, whatever, cool. Go to Harvard. Why don't you? Like, be super smart at home. And I'm like, all right, cool. Because I know what public school, I came from a public school. So I know what public school does and what they are unable to do because of certain issues that most public schools have. So, you know, whatever.
I just love how you just oversimplified the whole process.
What do you want me to do here?
from what I remember,
sure,
it took me about 2 years to convince you to give this a go because you were not about that life at all. You're like, nope. And you even said it was because of your upbringing. You come from a family of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They all are wonderful teachers. They all have changed the lives of many students who you've known because of you all living in the neighborhood. So you grew up with the people that your grandmother and your aunts taught. And you were like, no. He can go to regular school, meaning our oldest son. He's 12 at the time of you listening to this podcast. So that was an interesting long set of conversations between you and I about homeschooling and tackling this.
Yes. And may I defend myself?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. I'd like what most would call context. So if you say a thing like, yo, did you do the thing? I'm like, what are you talking about? I have no clue what you're talking about right now. But you're like, oh, I want to homeschool, and then he could be at home, and we don't have to worry about the thing that's going on at school. I'm like, what are you talking about? You have to give me more information about this. So in the meantime, when we were having these conversations, I was looking up what homeschooling meant. And there, at the time, there were not a lot of favorable, or there was not a lot of favorable information. So I continually came back to say, okay, I kind of get what's going on here. I mean, people have been homeschooled since, you know, they started making schools. So, like, you have to give me something to go off on, because if we're going to take him out of school, I need a structure to work with, or I need that, like, are we going to do, because I knew, are we doing tutoring? Are we doing a alternative school? Is he just going to stay home? What is the curriculum? Like, what, I can't just say, oh, cool, take him out of school with nothing.
Okay, gotcha.
And in 2 years, what you gave me was, well, I have this curriculum and this book and da, 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 and this and blah, 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 and this thing. And I went, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it happened.
Like, was there a fight?
I didn't know. Absolutely. I didn't say that.
No, no, no. I'm saying, was there, like, did I give opposition after I had information? Like, was it like, no, that's crazy. No, I was like, all right, I got information. Let's get a pop up.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It was this is weird. You literally just said what many people think until they do the research. It's like, I need to know more about this. And this is, from what I see, these are weirdos and they're not doing things the way that it seems like it should be done, or their kids are not being taught, or we're seeing homeschool kids in the news with just unfavorable, interesting predicaments.
Oh, well, maybe it's my demeanor. I mean, me personally, when I tell people that I'm homeschooling, it's one of two reactions. Oh, that is cool. What are you guys doing? And they want to know information, or they go, what? I've been wanting to homeschool, or I've been looking up homeschooling and I have this, and they start telling me about this. So this is just a timed situation, meaning when you brought it to me, like I said, there weren't tons of great things about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ugh, the nerds. The nerds. Ugh. I'm like, what? I'm like, I know this can't be all bad. Like, if you want to really break homeschooling down, it's like when you went to a high school and your friend went to a VOTEC. Hmm. That's it. Like, a VOTEC wasn't, I mean, I will never talk down about VOTECs. They're great. I went to one. So VOTEC isn't necessarily school, although you are taught the exact same things as high school, but you're also learning a trade. So, you know, it's you don't see each other, but you still go to the same schools, if that makes sense. So I know, case in point, Warren, where I'm from, there's Trumbull County VOTEC. But if you went to the Trumbull County VOTEC, you're still a part of, if you lived in Warren, you're still a part of Warren G. Harding, or you were still a part of JFK, named after the president. Like that's what that still was. You know what I mean? Like, even though you went here, you were still a part of the school. So even though you're taught at home, you're still a part of the system, technically. I mean, that hasn't changed.
Well, homeschoolers are still kind of part of the system.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're taught at home, you're still like Brandon and Alana. Oh boy, whatever. Our children are still a part of the school system that we're at.
Oh, they know by this time. Episode 4, yes, I think we've said our children's names by episode 2. So
I don't know what we said.
You all know who they are.
So Brandon and Alana.
Yeah, that's the two oldest ones. So here's an interesting thing that we've come across. So here's what's funny, is that it took you a while, or it took us a while to be on the same page about homeschooling. And then we homeschooled. And that happened literally after we had our third child. Like, he was 3 days old. And we homeschooled Brandon first. And Alana went to preschool. Montessori preschool. Yeah. So we are that mixed bag family. So we'll send them to school And then some can be homeschooled and some can go to school and whatever. We started it when we had a newborn in the house and one kid leaving the house to go to school and one kid staying home to be homeschooled, which wasn't a very tough, I'm going to say a very tough situation to learn how to homeschool this child. Sorry, to de-school a child, which is, for those of you who are not homeschoolers, one of the biggest things that people suggest that you do when you start homeschooling is to de-school your child. So they have to get out of that mindset of being in a system or being in a schedule that's set by a school. So lunchtime at this time, recess at this time, you're going to learn math for an hour, that type of deal. Because since we send our kids into a system, they get used to that system because they are young. So you're going to have to de-school your kids. Mm-hmm. Some kids take a month. Some kids take 6 months. It depends on your child. So we had to de-school our oldest. And then we had to learn his learning style. Because again, we weren't his teachers. So we weren't with him for 6 to 8 hours every day. No, well, we're going to get to that because I'm going to ask you a couple questions about teaching. But we had to learn the best way to teach this child, who is our child, who we know in a personal way, obviously, but then we had to turn into his teachers, basically. And then once you do that, then you can start thinking about things like curriculum and online learning and unschooling instead of homeschool. It's so complex, you guys. It's so complex. Homeschoolers are weird. Is such a great title for this podcast because you feel weird going through 50,000 different ways to possibly teach your child and then deciding on what's going to work for them and for each of them. Because the way that Brandon learns is not the way that Alana learns. Mm-hmm. And the way that Alana learns is not the way that James learns. And we are homeschooling our little one too. It's just a constant juggle, but it's a fun one because they seem way more advanced than if we weren't doing this. So I don't know. That's the weird quote unquote part of living this lifestyle is that it seems like we're always changing things around because they're growing. So every time they grow and their brain grows, we have to grow with them as their teachers. And as a teacher, which is what you are now, do you think that you focus more on, here's a better question. As they're now full-time teacher, so you guys know, I started off as teaching most of homeschool.
And I was a substitute.
And he was the substitute teacher.
And now I'm no longer getting riffed at the end of the year. I have a full-time teaching position.
Yes, he is the full-time teacher. And I work on my work for the most part. And then I'll come in and for electives. So for electives, I will be there doing all the fun stuff. So I get to do art and all that. Great jazz. But now that you are the full-time teacher, do you find that you are having to maneuver what you're teaching them? Or because I'm noticing that you do a lot of kid-led learning, which is what we ended up noticing was working for our kids before you started becoming their full-time teacher. Like they would tell us the things that they're interested in, mm-hmm. and then we would run with it and then make curriculum or assignments around that subject or those things that they mm-hmm. were interested in. So are you seeing that as they're full-time a teacher, that it's easier for you to just stick with what they're telling you they want to learn? Or is it better for you to plan this out?
Okay, so my entire life I've hated plans. Planning everything. I hate it.
The irony.
I'm not a planner at all. So here's how I'll try to answer the question this way and just give you my process of what I do. In the beginning of last year, right? Yeah, when we first moved here. It was kind of by the book, and it was fairly boring for all of us. And the reason it was fairly boring is I have to see what you know. If I'm going to take this over, I have to see where you struggle. I have to see what you can do. I have to know what you're capable of as a student. Case in point, Brandon. Did I say case in point already? Whatever. So Brandon.
Yes.
Brandon does not do well with tests that are written. He's taken, when I used to give him tests that were written, he would pretty much fail each and every one. But if I just let him speak or show me what he's talking about or just strike up a conversation with him and ask him the questions during the conversation, he can answer everything.
He gets that from me.
And it would be fine. And I go, okay. And I remember when I told you, I was like, okay, I'm never going to do another test for him.
Yeah. And I said, great.
And it was because, like, I thrive on tests. Like, I don't care. As long as they're not too long. Like, for the ACTs, I'll just tell you what I did. For the ACTs, what is it, 36? So I got a 33. It's been a long time. I forgot. But I scored pretty high. On the SAT, I don't know what it was. I scored pretty high. But it was stuff like, I used to, like, okay, so I took the ACT, and I remember that the most. There are, let's say, four sections of the test. I finished my first section before anybody was done with theirs, and I'm trying to, like, I need to go outside. Like, something needs to happen. Like, I can't sit here and be bored. I see him in the same light. I absolutely see you in the same way as well. And it's, like, just let me out of here. And that's me with the test. Like, once I'm done, like, I went to Kent State University and I'm bombed my entrance exams because I had taken four tests that day already. And all I wanted to do was go home. I'm like, I've been up since 6 o'clock in the morning. It's now 5 o'clock and I'm taking another test. I've been testing all day. So they put me in a pre-algebra, which is basically catch up from high school to know what you're doing in college. And I sat there in the class and taught the entire class how to do algebra. Like, it was very easy.
And what's funny is that I got put into pre-algebra as well because I got so nervous during the tests that I bombed it. And I breezed through my pre-algebra class. Like, that was easy.
Yeah.
An easy A. And they were like, why are you in this class? And I was like, because of the test. Because you put me under the pressure. And I see that in my son. And I think that's probably why when he did come home for homeschool and he and I had to figure this out, we were trying to homeschool as per these, you know, super kind homeschooling families and these women I saw all over the place. And these women who didn't really look like me. I will bring up that topic. They didn't look like our family. Homeschoolers never, I didn't see Black homeschoolers, point blank period. It took me a long time to search them out. I didn't know they were little groups. I didn't know any of that. But I had to use what I was finding in searches and on videos, and they were very structured and they had curriculum and they paid a lot of money for these curriculums, things we could not afford. And I was just like, okay, well, this is how we're supposed to do it. So we bought curriculum and we did tests and we did all the things that I thought homeschoolers were supposed to do and didn't realize you can still be weird because we're a weird family. We like doing things differently. That's how we thrive as Martins, we got to be different. And he and I were sitting there. It was like we were hitting each other over the head with bats. Like, he would hit me over the head and then I would hit him. And we both didn't want to do it this way. And there were other ways to learn. And all I had to do was just stop and sit down with my son and say, hey, what are we going to learn today? And that's how both of us learn. That's how both of us thrive, especially we can pick one thing to, like, really just focus in on and learn everything about that one thing. that's who we are. So we're weirdos in that way. Is
you
that
and, you and he?
Yes, my son yes. and I. Yes, this is how we operate. I have a lot of things that I've learned because I've hyper focused on that one thing, and then I became proficient at it, and then I became an expert at it, mm-hmm. and then people wanted to learn from me from that one thing, and then I move on to the next thing, and then I move on to the next thing. So I understand what's funny is that you teaching them now, and we talk about this, I feel like almost every day, we're finding a lot of ourselves in our children, mm-hmm. not just like, you know, if you all are parents and you're listening to this, you probably are, you know, you find little things about yourself within your child and you go, oh, you got that from me. Teaching your child is taking that to the 10th level, because then you really start thinking back to when you were in grade school, or maybe you were homeschooled, and the things you used to do to learn, and the things that never worked for you, and the things you were never interested in, but you had to go take that class and it just drove you crazy. And this time around, as a homeschooler or as a parent who homeschools, you can go, you know what? Let's learn the little bit you need to learn about that thing, and let's go on to the thing that's really going to complete your life when you are 18, or complete your life when you are 25 or mm-hmm. 35. And we can see that now because we are at that age, and we go, okay, if they love this and I used to love that at 12, and now that I'm 30 something, if only I could have spent 2 more months on that topic that I really, really loved, and maybe created a comic book out of it, or created my own computer program, or bought a big giant canvas and painted my idea of that topic, I would have been so much better off now that I'm older. And we get to do that with them, which is very
weird. Like the thing that I love though is case like Brandon. I'm not case in point. Why am I saying that?
Your new hot phrase.
I found out he wants to be a race car driver, which is cool. Whatever. Drive your car, bro. Drive fast. And it's the fact that he wants to be a race car driver. And this is just what I feel great teachers do. It's I take what you already want to do and I show you everything I need to show you inside of what you already want to do. So as a race car driver, there are several things that you really need to know. And it has to do with algebra, geometry, calculus, and chess. It's real easy. Like, that's all race car driving is. And me being as logical as I am, it allows me to break things down like that. So he wants to be a race car driver. I'm like, okay, well, let's learn how to play chess. Oh, why are we learning how to play chess? Because it's a fun game. Sweet. And this goes here, blah, 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 blah. Because all you're doing is teaching a strategy by playing the game. And then you take that exact same thing and you say, all right, let's play Connect Four. And you say you got to get 2 4s instead of 1. Okay, so now he has to strategize and play chess in Connect Four. So when he gets into a car, he's driving behind someone and he goes into a turn and he says, if I go on the outside, well, at this angle and come back at this angle. So now you have your geometry and your algebra to calculate the speed, and you have your strategy. So it's all of those three things working at once that most people can't do singularly, and it's all because he wants to drive race cars.
And I think it's interesting that he said he wants to drive race cars, because you know what I you know what I'm thinking?
What?
He doesn't want to drive race cars. He's never driven in a race car.
Yeah, but race cars are awesome.
Roller coasters.
You weren't in the Stinger.
But
he likes to go fast.
I know, but
I'm gonna
go
fast.
But there are other things that actually that could, you know, that he could lead to in terms of he could own a race car.
He could be an architect.
Right.
It's just the basis of whatever it is. If you think race cars are cool right now,
yes.
Let's break that down. Let's talk aerodynamics and really get into physics.
Yes.
Let's get into things that you would never think about. And then you go, oh, wow, I look cool.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's something that he could never do when he was in school. Like, I mean,
no, you can't.
They just didn't have time for it. Just for a background, because I know you all are going to ask, we're probably gonna have to do a part two of this one because we're very passionate about this topic. And I know many, many parents, you either think about this every once in a while, and with the conditions of schools, as of this podcast, and things that are happening in schools as of this podcast, we're finding that a lot of our friends and just people who know of us, they are asking us questions about homeschooling and they want to know valid information. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have to do a part two. We may even, maybe season two, we'll have some guests on because we know a few people that homeschool. Maybe, we'll see. But so you all understand, because I know this comes up, you know, why did we choose homeschool? Because it is so quote unquote weird. Why did we choose homeschool? And I wrote about it on my website, and that post still gets a good amount of traffic because people are looking up specifically the reason behind us homeschooling. And it did start with a specific situation at school.
It started with several situations with me.
Yes, but that one was that was really, that was the last straw.
Which one? Indian and the N-word?
Yes.
It started way before that.
Well, it did. Yes. Our son actually has ADHD. So there were certain things that the school was required to do in order to make sure he had a proper learning environment. They decided to not honor that. Even after us bringing in the paperwork, which was by law, something they had to follow. So that's how it really started. And then we started to do our research and learn, okay, if we bought him home or if we changed him to another school, what would that entail? What would we have to do? And then it actually ended finally through a racial altercation that happened at our son's school. He was, how old was he? Seven?
Yeah, something like that.
He was seven.
So, go ahead.
And yes, because I'm going to do it quickly so we don't spend a lot of time on this. Basically, there was a racial slur said on the school bus that our son was taking back and forth to school about the African-American children on the bus. In that particular school where we used to live, the minority were African-Americans and Caucasians. So the Caucasian kids and the African-American kids were the minority in the school. There was another race that was the majority, and they did not look favorably upon the Caucasian and African-American children, and they were constantly bullying and ridiculing them. Our son had been bullied prior to that as well. So because of that, and because we were not told, that's what it was. We were not told by the school that this was happening. We did not feel that it was safe to keep our son in that school system.
And this slur was not said to him or about him.
No.
Never mind. Either way, we had gone up to the school for another situation to talk to the principal, and we just happened to overhear it.
Yes.
And as they walked out, the parents and the child, the look of fear. And it was like, I was standing there. I was cool. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
I know how you are. I know how certain people will say this thing. And I know where this child would have learned this word from.
Right.
And I know exactly what's going on. So as the father, mother walks out, she's kind of cool, you know, not looking at anything. And I see the fear in the father. And then I see absolute fear in the child. I'm like, you guys don't need to be afraid of us. Like, we're good. Go speak to the principal. And then I was done.
Yeah, I wasn't done. I was. Because I recognized the family. They were our neighbors. So that's what really hit home. And I was like, my child just doesn't have a chance in this system. Maybe in another school system, like technically where we are now, we could put our children back into this school system where we've moved to.
It's a great school system.
We have no problem doing that. But I immediately said, my child won't have a chance. And he was a little kid that loved science, and he was a Black boy that loved science, which is super, super important. And there was going to be no way that he would be able to learn what he wanted to learn and be respected And I could see that in that interaction. So that's where we come from when it comes to homeschooling our children, is that we want them to be able to feel like they have a chance. And we want them to not have the setback of someone looking at who they are before they listen to who they are. And that shouldn't be a factor in their life if they want to do something amazing. So we can provide time where they can understand little intricacies of life, and they can learn at their own pace, whether that's a super fast pace or a slower pace, quote unquote. We're going to provide that to them, and we will not allow anyone, even ourselves, to put them in a box or to restrict them from wanting to find their passions. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's why we homeschool, and that's why we'll continue to be weird as we homeschool, because this is the weird way that we teach our kids. And it's different from any other homeschool family because it's different people and different ways of learning and different things that we learn. But I think as parents, it has really increased the connection we have with our kids, mm-hmm. because they get to see teacher dad and teacher mom and understand that that's still the same person, but we can separate it enough to allow them to grow as people. And then when it comes to being off duty, quote unquote, of school, I keep quote unquoting. You keep saying case in point, and I keep quote unquoting.
Because we're awesome.
Because we're cool and hip. It can merge, but we understand that respect as a teacher and a student will flow into the respect as a parent and a child. And as they grow up, that's something really fun that's going to happen, is that we will constantly still have this respect for each other, and they'll know, oh, my dad taught me that and my mom taught me that. And it's not just, you know, how to make eggs. It's calculus and physics and English literature. I cannot wait to teach them all the things. Okay. But I feel like that's a great way to end it, is that we're weird and we homeschool and we're very passionate about it. And bing, bang, bong.
We would like to thank you for tuning in to Cool Hip Parents. And if you like this, please subscribe to our things that we have to subscribe to.
You sure you want them to do that? You sound so underwhelmed.
What?
Are you excited about them subscribing?
Hey, you guys, subscribe to the things that we have so then we can get paid by our sponsors.
What? We don't have any sponsors.
Hold on. You don't know that. Tonight's sponsors are Connect Four and Chess. Chess, the game of kings. Hammermans. Kills Bucks
Dead. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you all next week. Have a good one.